on this episode of Still Loading.
Hey, this is my toothbrush, Rutabaga Brush.
You never use it.
I was just getting around to it.
I thought I told you cabbage heads to keep an eye on Princess Puny.
We were just teaching her how to scrub the floor like you said.
Find her before I scrub the floor with you sponge heads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is that time of the month. Wait, no, it is a time. It is your favorite time of the month. Captain N, the Game Master. We're covering two more episodes from season three. Because for those who don't know, season three, the episodes are only about 10 minutes long. So 10 to 11 minutes long. So these are very short ones. So we figured we'd cover two at a time. And joining me, my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing?
Hello, everybody. Yes, we're back. More Captain N.
Dexter, we are here to discuss two more episodes of our compatriot, the N Master himself, Captain N, the Game Master. Two episodes called A Tale of Two Dogs and Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls. A Tale of Two Dogs was written by Dennis O'Flaherty, and Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls was written by Calvin Kelly. Calvin is a one-time writer. I believe O'Flaherty wrote like one other. Yeah, actually, he wrote The Big Game, which was back in season two. And he also wrote The Lost City of Congoland, also back in season two. They were back-to-back episodes, which I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I know we actually only did one episode per episode that time. We didn't double them up. I keep forgetting season three, we're doubling episodes up. Anyway, so this is episode five and six, or these are episodes five and six, which means, everybody, there's only one more episode left. That's right. The penultimate?
Because it's right before the penultimate episode, yeah.
Yeah, one more episode left, which I gotta say the title of it, because I actually really like the title. I don't know if the episode's gonna be any good at all, but it's called The Fractured Fantasy of Captain N, which sounds so ominous to be the last episode of the series, but we'll get to that when we next month. It'll be the finale. And for that finale, I'm going to say it now, and I'll say it at the end of the episode, and I'm also going to be putting it on social media as the finale gets closer. I want you all to write into us about your Captain N memories, or even the series memories, like moments that you enjoyed from our dumb banter throughout the series, and or just favorite moments in the Captain N show that you remember as a kid, or what you remember of the show in general. And we'll read it on the episode. If you would like to, you can also send in, if you have the ability to, you can send me some recordings over email. You can send me an audio file, and we'll play it and react to it on the episode. So we'll see how that goes. But that's, I just want to shout that out now, because we are going to plan on doing that for the finale, which I did not tell Dexter that until just now. So this is his first time hearing about
that's
it.
That's okay. I'm going to go ahead and tell the listeners. Tell us about your favorite butthole. Tell us about your favorite white stuff that got on Simon's face.
Whatever phallic shape, which there is actually one in The Tale of Two Dogs that we'll get to. But send us your memories. Send us your sex jokes, all of the above. Keep it PG. Well, nothing, no nudes. That's all I gotta say. No, sorry, nudes. That didn't work.
Capital.
I was trying to do like an end pun with nudes, but it doesn't really work. It's just a whole bunch of ends. Anyway, we are going to dive into the first episode here, A Tale of Two Dogs, episode five, once again written by Dennis O'Flaherty. The episode begins with Dr. Light and Dr. Wily making a peace robot. they've decided to come together to, you know, they've made amends, and what better way to bridge their hatred for each other by making a peace robot, which is literally a robot with a smiley face and a peace sign for a nose.
Did you notice that that's like the character design of the Yellow Devil from Mega Man 1?
Or is it really?
He shows up in a few Mega Man games. Yeah, when I saw it right away, I was like, oh, is that Yellow Devil? But instead of the big eye in the middle, it's a peace sign. And they painted a smiley face.
I'm going to actually have to look it up real quick just to see. Yeah, okay. I could see it, actually. It's got Yellow Devil vibes for sure. oh, my God. So I love the line, too, like Dr. Wily saying something where it's like, what a great idea. What better way to bring peace to Videoland than building a super robot? I'm like, how do those two things connect? Like, they don't mean anything to each other.
Yes, this could never go wrong.
And they talk about, I love Dr. Light's other lines, like, its greatest act is bringing the two of us together in friendship. And some really cheesy lines in this. And Dr. Wily goes through a portal to get the control device for this robot, and only to find out that he, of course, is not actually trying to be friends. He's going to double cross everyone. He is just waiting for the end team, Kevin, and the end team to come back with a power cell or an energy tank, that they get from wherever they're at. And so that way he can use it to power up the robot. Then he will take his controller and take over Videoland. And this continues.
Did you notice he's got his own Dr. Wily robot too?
Yeah.
and that poor robot, he gave him a bald head too, with like weird metal flaps for hair.
Oh my God, you're right. I didn't even think of it. I was just so focused on, he gave him like really thick eyebrows. Like it's a fully silver metal robot, except for the eyebrows. The eyebrows are still black. I guess it would look weird if it wasn't, if it was silver like the rest of it. It would be a little bit too Uncanny Valley-ish, even for a robot. But yeah, it's still goofy. And when they cut over then to Mega Man and Captain N and Duke and Rush on their mission, and it's got one of the weirdest like plot devices where Mega Man and Kevin are arguing over whose dog is quote unquote the baddest dog in all of Videoland.
Yeah. But we finally get our first appearance of Rush
in the entire show, right?
Yeah, it's the first time Rush has shown up, first time he's been mentioned, everything. So this episode very much dives into Mega Man for the first time, really. I guess I shouldn't say that, because they've had some of the robot masters. Remember, and everything Mega show Man's up.
Boy now.
Yeah.
He's a real boy. If the end of season one is to be believed, which I don't believe it, because nothing fucking changed.
Yeah. This is the first time where it feels like, you know, Dr. Wily is a serious threat. He's not just like a buffoon working for Mother Brain. They go to Top Land, which I guess is supposed to be for Top Man's stage kind of thing.
Like, even though it should be, I guess, Mega Land or whatever it was for all the other Mega Man time. All the other times they went to Mega Man's world.
Yeah, they just Top Man's stage should be in Mega World or whatever, but. Yeah, it's like this weird spinning top world.
Well, and I love they did have a decent amount of attention to detail in this episode for Mega Man stuff. Like the cat that you see right after, like right when the first time you see Mega Man and Kevin in Megaland or whatever it is, they're fighting a cat in this episode, which is something straight out of like what, Mega Man 2, I want to say. Maybe yes. 3? I'd have to double check. I think it's 2, though.
Yep.
Oh, and Mega Man 3, I'm sorry.
Also, like, from the get-go, like, Rush is talking, which leads up to the weird ending of this episode.
Oh, we'll get to that. I have a rant about that. Yes, Rush is talking and cracking jokes. kind of like a robotic Scooby-Doo almost. Yeah. There's a weird moment, though, at 1 minute and 28 seconds in, where for some reason the animation on Mega Man is slightly different. His face is suddenly like square. Like he looks Tetris-ized. Yes, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, he definitely does. He looks like a Lego version of Mega Man.
Exactly. And you see it again a little bit later on in like the next shot. But then afterwards, he's back to normal and it's like nothing ever changed. It's so strange. So Rush chases the big robotic cat away by just barking at him, you know,
Duke does,
just scaring it away. Sorry, what?
Duke does. Sorry, you said Rush, because then they hop on top of Rush, which that led me to Rush is rocket powered. They're literally riding a rocket, but they never catch up to Duke until the end.
They are like Duke must run like at the speed of sound in Video Land, because I can't understand how else they would not have caught up to him, considering like there's this whole argument about who is the better dog in Video Land. And I'm sorry, it's Duke. It's not because I like Duke more than Rush. It's just because of the way they present it. Duke isn't a robot, but he's able to jump as high as Rush, which we'll see a little bit later on. He can run faster than Rush, arguably faster when they're fucking like flying at like the speed of sound, and it still takes a solid like 12 seconds for them to catch up to Rush. It's wild. And they are just bickering like an old married couple about whose dog is better. And I don't understand this choice.
Yeah, it's a weird like thread that they're using to tie the whole episode together, when it could just be about this weird piece robot.
When they get to Duke cornering Top Man by just barking at him, I love, what does Mega Man say? Mega Man is the one that takes him out after Kevin shoots away some flying tops.
Something about a punchline, like,
yeah, here's my mega punchline. And he just shoots his fist off of his arm and it just knocks the fuck out of Top Man. Like, it doesn't disintegrate him. It just knocks him out cold.
I was trying to figure out what Top Man's plan was. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what Top Man's plan was. He's just spinning. Like,
yeah, what is he expecting to do?
I don't know. And then it's like the best animation I've seen in all of season 3 after he gets punched. Like, it's very fluid when he like falls over.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
No, I agree.
So bizarre. I don't know what Top Man's plan was. Like, I'm just going to spin here and waste their time because I'm not doing anything. But then, yeah, when he disappears, he turns into the energy tank, which isn't exactly how that works in Mega Man, but it looks like a dome light, like one of those, they used to have an As Seen on TV commercial for those, like you can put them in your closet and light up your closet, like a little push button light. That's what the energy tank looks like.
It doesn't look like this, but it reminded me of like a Tide Pod for some reason. I don't know why. It's a dome, like you said. It's a dome light. But for some reason, I just thought of it being as a Tide Pod. So they bring the energy tank back, and Dr. Wily sees this. He's like, all right, my plan can go into motion, but I just got to get, you know, Captain N and Mega Man out of commission. We got to create a distraction for them, and I know just what to do. And his whole plan here is that he wants to kidnap the dog so that way they can distract Kevin and Mega Man. And Kevin and Mega Man go through a portal as Dr. Wily is saying this, and they go to the beach, I guess, to do these more of these dog competitions. And Rush and Duke are surfing. And
right.
As dogs do. I mean, they can. You've seen videos of it.
That's true.
Don't know why this for some reason is a determining factor over whose dog is better, but for some reason they chose this for reasons unknown. And Mega Man, to his credit, you know, comforts Rush, but it's like, it's okay, boy, we'll get him in the frisbee toss or whatever. They throw the frisbee, both Rush and Duke leap in the sky, like hundreds of feet in the air, both of them, right into a portal created by Dr. Wily going to Dr. Wily's castle.
Yeah, yeah. What did they, I'm trying to remember, I thought that the lines should have been said by the opposite person. Because, like, yeah, Mega Man's like, isn't that Dr. Wily's world or something like that? And Captain N's like, you mean the Skull Castle, whatever. Like, he corrects him and gives him the proper name. And I'm like, shouldn't Mega Man know that?
I didn't even think, I mean, I feel like both of them should know it because Kevin plays all the games, but it is Mega Man's world, theoretically. So you're right. Why?
Yeah. Why? And I also, did not know that. I also enjoyed Kevin's line. You know what I always say, once a sleazoid, always a sleazoid.
Like, I'm going to start using that in my everyday speech.
Yeah. I like how he says it like that. You know my catchphrase.
I'll be driving to work or something, or like next time I'm driving with my wife. Actually, tomorrow we're going on a little trip together. So, with the family and I. So if some like driver is going to be an asshole or something like that, and he cuts us off, I'll be like, you know what I always say: once a sleazoid, always a sleazoid, and see if she even like see how she reacts. I'm going to expect it something along the lines of what.
What's a sleazoid?
It's the 90s again, man, come on. I mean, the amount of like bizarre wacky insults in this, you know, it's always like Mega Ninny, Mega Mini, there's all like Captain Numbskull is another one that he says later on. It's just so silly. Anyway, so Kevin and Mega Man go to Wily's castle, Skull Castle, whatever it is, and they knock on the door for some reason. Like, you know he's a bad guy. Like, why would you? I mean, I guess they don't know at this point. They might, I mean, but why wouldn't you suspect if your dog suddenly went through a portal into Dr. Wily's castle?
Yes, and he's
already known to be a bad guy.
He's still a sleazoid.
He says it. So, like, why knock? Why? You just bust in. Wily springs a trap on him and he puts him in this random water pit, like something straight out of Star Wars with like the you know, the trash compactor or whatever. And a giant phallic tube comes out of the wall.
And poops a robot turtle.
Excuse me, ejaculates a robot turtle. Sir, use the proper term.
What was I thinking?
You know, as you do. oh my god. And Dr. Wily comes up and you know, starts in making fun of them. Welcome to my pool party, hope you'll stay for dinner, blah 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 blah. And Kevin says, oh, you'll pay for this, Wily. And he goes, I'm sorry, Captain, and I left my wallet in my other lab coat. I'm like, what? Okay, I get the joke, but it's the delivery was so underwhelming. Like, there was no, it wasn't delivered like a joke. It was delivered matter of factly, you know?
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound like it's a comeback. It just sounds like it's a response.
It's so goofy. I love it, but it's so goofy. Now, yeah. Dexter, I got to know some of you, like, what's your opinion on this scene? Cause I'm about to go on a rant.
About how they get out of this predicament.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, Wily leaves them to just, I guess, tread water, and then they shoot more turtles, and Kevin can't use...
more turtle.
Speaking of ejaculate, when Kevin tries to use a zapper, the visual of that, it squirts out liquid. And he's like, I got to get my blaster waterproofed.
Where's Simon when you need him?
Yeah. And then Mega Man says, I've got something that doesn't require power or something like that. I guess to say like that his blaster wouldn't work either or something, like his arm.
Because they're in the water, I guess. Yeah.
And so he uses the, what is it called? Shadow Star. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Yep. Yep, the Shadow Star.
And which is that power up, and he uses it to hit the reverse. And so now I don't even know what to call this, if it was ejaculating before, but it starts sucking all the water and turtles out of the pool. And they're like, oh, great, it's working. You turned it into a vacuum. And then it sucks them up too. Like, why did they not see that coming? Like,
So that's not my beef with this scene, believe it or not. My beef with this scene, Dex, is that you're right. So that, you know, Mega Man reverses it from blow to suck. and kind of paraphrasing a Spaceballs quote there.
Spaceballs, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. The turtles get sucked up and they're like, oh, it's going to suck us up too. So we got to find a way to get out. Mega Man grabs onto a grate at the bottom of the floor that's covered in that the water is above. And yeah, they,
wait, why wasn't the water going down that?
Exactly. That's
why am I not realizing that until now?
I was so mad, Dexter. I'm like, why is there water in here at all? There's a fucking drain. There's no, like, it wasn't stopped up. There's a hole. In fact, it might even be an animation error when you see it happen. When you see Mega Man clutching onto it, there's like a shot where there is no grate at all, even. You see him grab onto the grate at first, right? Actually, hold on. Let me get the timestamps for you so I can tell you exactly. 6 minutes and 46 seconds that you can see the time, the grate clearly. Like Mega, it's a shot of Mega Man's hand coming into frame, and he's going to grab the grate. At 6 minutes and 47 seconds, you might have to cycle through a couple frames with the caret keys or whatever on your keyboard, you know, the greater than less than signs. And the grate's suddenly gone. Yeah. And then if you keep on watching, I'm going to keep going. It cuts back to them. Suddenly a grate appears out of nowhere. This is at 6 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah, and it literally shatters.
It's almost like it slides from the top. I think what he intended it to do was like he pushed it open maybe, but then it just completely just comes out and shatters in front of them. And then they can somehow climb in now, which I still don't understand why it even needed to when there wasn't a grate there in the first place. There was a grate and then there wasn't. And then it just appeared out of nowhere. And it's all over the goddamn place. But yeah, why did the water not drain? There's no reason for the water to be there at all in the first place when there's a drain at the bottom.
That's so weird. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't notice that before or consider the physics.
The physics with an X. So the dogs have been captured, like we said. Dr. Wily thinks that he's dispatched of Kevin and Mega Man, so he's going to go take care of the robot and take over Videoland. And Duke and Rush are now behind like an electrified, basically prison, like prison wall or whatever, you know, the gate, whatever it is. I can't speak right now. They decide to dig out, and that's right when Kevin and Mega Man come bursting through the wall into the exact cell they were just at. They see them. They jump down the floor. They jump down the hole and come out the other side and start trying to defend Rush and Duke, who are being attacked by the robot Dr. Wily. And I love this scene where they all hop on Rush for a second as he propels them away. And it does like a little like sputtering, like you see some smoke clouds come out, and it just looks like Duke's farting because Duke is like right on top of Rush. It just looks like that. Duke is just farting up a storm right on top of everyone. And Mega Man, for some reason, is significantly larger than Kevin is.
I didn't notice see that.
8 minutes, 21 seconds.
Yeah.
Abnormally larger. Like Kevin's head is maybe a third of Mega Man's head, when normally Mega Man's head goes up to barely above Kevin's waist.
Yeah. This I've got it paused on 8 minutes and 20 seconds, and this is just a giant hodgepodge of drawings laid on top of each other. This might need to be in the thumbnail. No.
We've got a farting Rush
with a Duke and like the top torso of Kevin and a giant frightened Mega Man.
You need to keep the fart cloud too. Just saying.
Yes, I'll keep the fart cloud as well.
Good.
I was going to say before that, when Dr. Wily leaves and gives orders to his robot Wily, he salutes with his saw hand and like cuts into his face.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I was like, oh my God. I did see
that. That was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
That saw hand ends up being his own demise too, because he's shooting at the end team. Or, I mean, this episode, I meant to say it earlier, it continues the tradition of season three where the entire M team is not on it. It's like one group and that's it. And this, yeah, it's just Mega Man and Dr. Light, pretty, for the most part, and Duke, of course. And, you know, remember in Totally Tetrisized, I forget who was even in Totally Tetrisized. It was Lana. It was, who else was there?
Simon.
Was it just Lana and Simon?
Yeah, because he gets turned into, they leave him as a doorstop, like Tetris piece.
That's what it is, yeah. Lana and Simon. And then in episode three, it was once again Simon because it was Return to Castlevania. Episode two, it was Lana, and I think that was it because there's no Kid Icarus in the... Kid Icarus showed up in the first one with the Misadventures of Robin Hood, but you don't... Once again, you really just... You see one or two, never more than that.
Until the next one.
Until the next one, finally. we'll get to that. But yeah, so... The robot Dr. Wily shoots all his saw blades everywhere and ends up cutting a pipe, which then lands on top of him and kills him. And for some reason, they do this goofy animation where, you know, they get on Rush to jet out of it, which causes the castle's nose to get tickled and it sneezes them out.
Yeah, that was some interesting cartoon logic there.
I mean, I'm always a fan of cartoon logic, but it's, I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't work. And I think most of the time in Captain N, it doesn't work. Not because cartoon logic isn't like good, but they seldom use it throughout the show. So when they do use it, it feels very odd because it doesn't feel like it fits in with the rest of it, you know?
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like because they so seldom have logic in any of their decision making that when there is some type of logic, cartoon or otherwise, you're like, excuse me, what's going on here?
Yeah, and they sometimes try to add like Looney Tune type jokes,
mm-hmm,
which can feel out of place when it's supposed to be like a stressful moment. Like the timing of it, like it works when they're just having like downtime and they, you know, they do something to Simon, like wrap him up like a mummy and spin him around or whatever. But yeah, it seems weird when the show's trying to act like, you know, will they get out alive? And then they do some like weird Looney Tune joke. It doesn't really fit in that moment.
Yeah, I agree. So the episode, we get to pretty much the finale fight of this episode, because once they escape Wily's castle, Dr. Light shows up and says, Dr. Wily stole the peace robot. And I could have sworn Dr. Wily earlier, like when he was still pretending to be good, said peas robot, not peace, my peas robot. It's almost like he just replaced the C with an S. And it didn't quite work. Peas robot. But the way they defeat Dr. Wily, one, a couple things. One, the robot is significantly larger than what it was before in the episode. Like it was two stories in the beginning. Now it looks like it's four, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. The way they defeat it is Kevin like shoots his blaster or whatever, or something like, or like Rush uses it, I forget. It basically makes it the robot's foot hot, which suddenly Dr. Wily can't control because its foot's hot. So it's almost like the robot is sentient. But anyway, yeah, we'll ignore that.
Feels pain. Yeah,
it feels pain. And because of that, a tree branch, because of the stomping, it suddenly breaks a tree branch off of a lone tree with a robot beehive on it. The robot beehive lands next to Duke, but for some reason, none of the bees try to sting him. And the way they defeat Wily is that Duke, riding on top of Rush, Joe's up in the air. Rush drops a rock onto the sphere at the top, like the glass sphere that's where Dr. Wily is controlling the big robot for, which I, one, why is that glass so weak? Two, how did he not grab them prior to that? Like that, but and more importantly, why is the glass so weak? You would think it'd be like bulletproof or something. Like a rock shouldn't just be able to shatter it that easily, but it does.
I wrote the same thing in my notes that was like, really, just a rock? But then I'm gonna give the writer a break, even though I don't think they thought of this. Technically it's a peace robot, so it shouldn't need like super reinforced glass.
You, I guess that, you know what, fair point, fair point. I think that's actually pretty valid. They drop the robot beehive into Dr. Wily, into the robot. It starts chasing Dr. Wily around, which then causes the robot to mimic him because, you know, cartoon logic.
Yeah.
And the robot trips, it falls over, everything breaks apart. Arms falling off, legs falling off. Robot just, it makes me wonder how well made it actually was. If one single trip is enough to like make literally every single thing fall off.
Maybe it was a pieces robot.
Oh my God, Dexter.
I'm sorry.
You win. You win. So the episode ends. The episode ends with Rush making a joke. I forget exactly what he says. Do you remember what Rush says?
He says something about
something must have been bugging him.
Yeah, something must have been bugging him.
And then he does the arf, 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 like in a robot voice. Both Kevin and Mega Man look over at the dogs, and it's like, whoa, did you say something? You can speak, Duke? And Mega Man goes, like,
no, that was Rush.
Yeah, I'm like, motherfuck, Rush literally spoke in front of both of you earlier in the episode.
Yeah, at least twice.
Once, at least twice, definitely once, because I remember the first time Rush speaks, neither of them are near them, like they're not on screen together, so you can make the argument like, okay, they were far enough away. Yeah. But this, there is a time when Rush is literally right next to Mega Man on screen at the same time, and he says something and no one fucking acknowledges it.
Yeah. Yeah, it caught me off guard, and that's like the joke that it ends on, is arguing about whose dog can talk now. Like, wait, he's been talking this whole time.
It's such a dumb joke. Like, it just really makes me question Kevin's intelligence. I'm going to be honest. That, or maybe, like, how do you not, whatever. I don't want to nitpick this anymore. It's a bizarre ending, but apparently these motherfuckers don't pay enough. They're too wrapped up in their own competition that they don't notice that their dog can fucking talk. And how does Mega Man not know Rush can talk?
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, wouldn't he be programmed as a robot dog unless he went through the test to become a real dog? The way that Mega Man became a real boy.
And what would his version of it be? What? Because I forget what happened in episode. That was episode 13 of season 1. He goes to like some bizarre land, right? And I forget what it is.
It's all one big Pinocchio like pastiche.
Yeah. But that's episode 5, A Tale of Two Dogs. So what's interesting, Dex, this episode 5 appears as episode, like A Tale of Two Dogs, the one we just covered, appears as episode 6 on IMDb. But everywhere else, on YouTube, on Wikipedia, I'll even double check the Captain N wiki just to see like what they say the episode order is. But I'm fairly certain that it's... Yeah, they have it as episode 5 is A Tale of Two Dogs, and episode 6 is is Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls. So, but yeah, that's episode 5. Final thoughts on A Tale of Two Dogs, Dex?
I'm impressed that they didn't use the pun T-A-I-L, A Tale of Two Dogs. I'll give them credit for not doing that. But yeah, when that episode ended, I was like, oh, that all went by really fast. Like there was no time to really breathe, I felt like, in that particular episode.
Yeah, I mean, these episodes are only 10 minutes long, so they really have to cram everything into a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I felt like they did a good job, similar to the Castlevania one, of getting, you know, squeezing a lot of Mega Man references in. But on the whole, it felt more like a montage than watching a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like lots of things were happening.
I feel like that's kind of like the thing with all of these season three episodes. But anyway, we're going to move on to our second episode of this episode, episode 6, Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls. Once again, written by Calvin Kelly. I haven't done this for a while now, but you know what? We're going to do it for here. So this episode released on October 19th, 1991. A Tale of Two Dogs was on October 12th, 1991. Kind of apropos, actually, considering this episode's coming out in November and these episodes just dropped in October of like 91. So, you know, technically, Dex, we're close to the 32nd anniversary of these episodes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, these episodes came on either side of my 5th birthday. So that's exciting.
All right, so we're up to Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls. This episode begins with the N team playing in, it's not the what did they call it? It was not it's not like baseball land. They're just saying the world of baseball. The batting world of baseball is how it begins. And they're fighting the Videoland All-Stars, which is headed up by the iconic, the ever-lovable Bo Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, and gamers of our age and, you know, the 90s and all that stuff. Oh, we know Bo Jackson. It's funny because this episode is the reference is the NES game Bo Jackson Baseball. But obviously he's arguably more well known for being in Tecmo Bowl as the running back and just fucking destroying everything because he was so freaking fast.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not the only athlete to do it, but he's probably the most successful, well-known athlete to do both Major League Baseball and
football.
NFL.
Yeah.
To play both and to be so proficient at both. Because Deion Sanders, I believe, also did both. But, you know, Bo Jackson was almost arguably like Hall of Fame worthy for both sports. And was just an incredible athlete.
Isn't that just wild to think about? Like it's funny. He, I'm like looking at his stats right now. He didn't play too many games. It looks like he only had 3 years in, it looks to be like 3 years in the NFL. And then he also started playing in baseball in 1986. Like that's just wild to think about. Like which took precedent? You know, like the NFL season usually ends before baseball, but baseball can go into the NFL season if he gets into, like, if there's any, like, yeah.
If you get into the playoffs, then you are coinciding with the football season.
That's just nuts to think about. But that's just so silly. Anyway, so yes, Bo Jackson is in this game, and
I should also say they reference it quite a bit. There was a series of commercials called Bo Knows at the height of his, you know, fandom, or at the height of his like stardom, I should say. And they reference Bo Knows a lot, and it would show like Bo Knows tennis, and it would like have a clip of Bo Jackson playing tennis and Bo Knows. And it was like all these different sports. And that was like the kind of joke. And I think the end, it was like Bo Knows hockey. And it was like doing all these crazy different sports. And so they say Bo Knows like 4 or 5 times in this 10-minute episode.
I actually did not know that. I was not aware of it. I mean, when this episode came out, I would have been 2. So I would have been a little bit young to like catch any of those commercials. I might have seen it though, just in passing, but I'm not entirely sure. So episode, like I said, begins. Kevin's throwing some pitches. Bo gets a pop fly, and Simon tries to catch it with his vampire glove.
Simon always tries to like this. Yeah, he's like, now's my chance to use my special super vampire catcher's mitt or something like that. And it's like, you haven't been using that the whole time?
Like why not? Why not? But the thing is, he doesn't change anything out. It just, his mitt turns into a vampire, grows fangs. It's very odd.
And bites his butt when he misses it.
Well, Duke pummel, like, headbutts him right in the nuts first. Like both of them, like, I feel like Duke broke his neck on Simon's torso, and Simon probably just, I don't know. Yeah, but his vampire mitt ends up on his butt, and he tears off part of his pants. And of course, the ball ends up being a foul anyway, so Bo gets a strike. And it's just in the middle of a baseball game, and it cuts over to the God help us, what the fuck were they thinking version of Mother Brain. Dude,
it is like just, jump scare, dude, warning.
I was so taken aback by how, like, listen, I understand this season is a lower budget. I understand that maybe that's why they're only 11 minutes. But holy fuck, did they make Mother Brain look awful in this.
We finally get Mother Brain and Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo back, but that cut to Mother Brain, I'm not kidding, that's jump scare worthy. Like, oh dear God, like,
she's got a monobrow.
Yes, unibrow. She has significantly, like, to describe it to our listeners, Mother Brain has significantly less line work now than she did before. So the brain looks more like a wig, and there's only two like tubes going from her face to the brain, but they kind of look like horns now. She because... doesn't have like the warts in the, you know, like all the stuff on her face. It's just, she's just all smooth. The shape of her head is like a gingerbread man. No,
what I was going to say, the shape of her head is a tooth. It's a tooth wearing a brain wig, and it's got a pair of lips.
Yep, that's about right.
A tooth with lips.
There's a few shots in this episode where she's completely like wall-eyed, like eyes going in different directions. It's very unsettling.
I normally find that look really humorous, but not in this episode.
Poor Levi Stubbs.
I mean, as far as I know, so one of the things I looked up in some of the trivia on the wiki, which, you know what, right at the end of the Captain N series is the first time I looked up any trivia for any of these episodes. So good on me, Josh. Good on me. This episode, apparently, I hate to like kind of spoil it, but I guess it's kind of nice. This is the last episode with pretty much the full N team. Simon will not appear in the next one. Game Boy does not appear in the next one. Mother Brain does not appear in the next one. Eggplant Wizard does not appear in the next one. King Hippo does not appear in the next one. This episode is truly the last episode of the entire Captain N series, and effectively our Captain N series, where literally the classic group of the N team and the Mother Brain squad, or whatever they call themselves, it's the last time they're all together. Kind of bittersweet, man.
It is. That's so sad to see Mother Brain go out this way.
Seriously. After such a night, like Levi Stubbs pulled in such an iconic performance, and like even in this episode, like he's doing fantastic, but it's just a bummer, man. It really bums me out that we don't get any more Mother Brain in this. Apparently it's also the last appearance of the Palace of Power. So really it's also like this is it, like no more, this is really, like, if anything, this should have been the last episode, but we have the Fractured Fantasy of Captain N coming up next month. So we'll see how that is. Fun fact about the airing of this, I'm reading this directly off of the Captain N wiki. I don't know how true this is or not, but I'm going to trust the wiki. Originally aired with the Super Mario World cartoon, we know that, but with the episode King Scoopa Koopa. However, In some regions, such as Angleton, Texas, it aired with the Wheel Thing instead. Reasons for this are unknown. And what is this? Probably since, as noted below, this is the only episode to feature the entire end team as well as the entirety of the main series villains. As a result, some regions may have moved some episodes around out of order in an attempt to kick off season three by having the first episode to include the entire end team. Season three already suffered from a lower reduced budget, so this may have been done to prevent fan confusion.
That's smart.
Could see that. I could see that. I think I like the way we watch it, where like you don't see any of them until the second to the until the penultimate, until the second to last episode.
I mean, you do notice it, but it's one of those things where these episodes go by so quickly that you don't feel it. You notice it, but you don't feel it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that entirely. So the episode though continues. You see King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are lovable, goofy duo. Their only appearance in season three and their final appearance for the show.
And they're probably the closest to their original designs than any of the other characters.
They look normal. They look like themselves. It's interesting that the animators must have put a lot of effort into it. I mean, you still see King Hippo's dime or quarter-sized nips.
And all 12 of his chins.
Yep. And they're like working on some wires, and he's like, King Hippo's like, "You melonhead, don't touch your wire to this one, otherwise it'll zap you." And he's demonstrating it though, so they end up getting zapped anyway. It's kind of silly.
Classic.
But it cuts back to Kevin. Basically, Mother Brain says she's gonna do something to Videoland, or no, something to get rid of the end team, so that way she can take over Videoland. And Kevin's about to throw the last pitch. She'd strike Bo Jackson out. And I just noticed Kevin on his hat. Kevin, sorry, there's the one I have to do for each episode. He has an N on his hat.
He does for the N team. Yeah, on the scoreboard it had N and it had V. I'm guessing for N team versus Videoland All Stars.
I guess so. It's funny though. At 1:40, it looks like, I don't know if you can get the perfect still frame. You might have to cycle through a couple frames. There's a moment where Kevin looks like he's about to sneeze. It's kind of amusing. The ball flies through the air. Kid Icarus tries to catch it. It just spins Kid Icarus into a spiral and into the ground. It goes into the scoreboard. And then all of a sudden, the baseball field starts wibbling and wobbling, and gold light comes out of nowhere. And everyone gets sucked into a portal except for Game Boy. Game Boy really only appears for like half a second in this episode.
He doesn't talk either. He uses his screen both times.
Man, they really did our boys dirty in this. I mean, I guess like you can't, there's not a lot of time, so they can't devote a whole lot of screen time to each character like they could in a normal episode. But so they go to what they call the cellar of Baseball World, and it was sent there by Mother Brain, who tells Princess Lana that it was her that did it. And now she's going to take over Videoland, which I find it odd that Lana just fucking gives up. She still has Game Boy, and like she still has things that she can fight back with. Like, she wouldn't be the type just to give up, but she does. Like, Mother Brain does take over just because she sent the end team to the Baseball World cellar.
Yeah, lots of baseball puns in this episode. For those of you unfamiliar with baseball, that's what they call last place in the division. If you're a team that's in last place, you're in the cellar.
I mean, I feel like they use that to describe a lot of different sports too. Like, if you're in last place, you're in the cellar of the league type of thing.
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't just say it's baseball.
But it is funny that when they're down there, Bo's like, "This is where we put all the foul equipment and or all the like the foul equipment," I think, as he calls it. And it's just a bunch of baseballs embedded into a cave wall.
He suddenly gets really angry faces. Yeah, I wrote this down. "I haven't seen this many foul balls since the World Series." And I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what?
Did Bo Jackson ever go to the World Series? Do you know?
I don't think so, but he might have. I'd have to look that up. But I just, like, why would there be more foul balls in the World Series? It's just a weird
I'm trying
thing
to see. I don't know if his team ever made it. I'd have to check. I'll keep looking. I'll do a little bit digging. But they explore through this cave with all these angry baseballs, and the team splits up because Bo and Kevin decide that they each know what's best. Like, there's a split in the road, and Bo's like, well, you know what they say in baseball, you always go right, or something like that. Some fucking line that doesn't make any fucking sense. And that's the one game you play right, or something like that. And so they decide to take the right path, which, if you notice also the path, the way it's split, there's a base at the center of the fork in the road, and there's painted lines like it's part of a baseball diamond.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Bo and Kid Icarus and Simon, and actually Kid Icarus has a line earlier when the balls first start attacking them. They look pretty harmless to me, a kiss. And it just don't put lines like words like that right next to each other for that character. It sounds dumb. He already sounds dumb with the Icus thing, but now you put harmless and Icus right next to each other. Now he's just rhyming unintentionally, and it makes it even worse.
No, it's ridiculous. But this, the crossroads, like you were saying, it sets up this like rivalry between Bo and Kevin. Well, I guess the very beginning did, where they were playing against each other. But in this case, you know, like you said, Bo says, well, you always go to the right in baseball, so that's where we're going to go. And, and Kevin's like, well, I say we go left because I know video games.
Which is valid, actually. Both are valid. Yeah.
And the team splits up with who they think is right, which doesn't seem very smart. I thought it was strange that they just quickly were like, okay, I'm going this way, bye. Like, they didn't like talk about it or anything. They just, okay, well, we're just going to split.
Yep. And while right after they split up, it cuts back to the Palace of Power, where you see Eggplant Wizard showing Lana how to clean the floor with a toothbrush. And Lana kind of smartly goes, oh, I see what I don't. I see that you're doing that, but I still don't understand what's happening. Could you show me again? Could you explain it to me so I can understand, Eggplant Wizard? And then King Hippo's like, oh, let me show you how to do it, only to realize it's his own toothbrush that he's cleaning the floor with.
And Eggplant Wizard's like, well, you never use it anyway. And he's like, oh, I was just about to. He starts brushing his teeth with it.
I'm literally at the scene when he's doing it too. Just if you think about that too, that means he's scrubbing his teeth with just floor dirt and water. Yep. That's it. Soap.
I have to watch it slower, but when he gets upset with Eggplant Wizard, he punches his head into his body. And the way that is, at 4:17.
Okay. Oh yeah! Wow, that animation is wild. It's just like a almost like a bowling pin going into like I don't know. It's so goofy. What were you going to say about it, though?
The way his head pops out so fast, like it just feels. I thought that there might have been an error in the animation, but I think it just jumps out so fast that's what I must have seen. Because I thought that a different head replaced, like it almost looks like his head pops back on rather than coming out of his body. But it just happens so fast.
It does happen really fast. So like from when it's in, there's one frame where it goes halfway up. It sits on that halfway up frame for an extra one. So it'll sit there for two frames. And then on the fourth frame, it jumps back to being normal again. So it is very fast. It happens in the span of like four frames.
Yeah, too fast.
I mean, at least assuming that when you like go through it with the greater than less than signs on YouTube, it does frame by frame. But... yeah, it So while King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are distracted by cleaning the floor and brushing their teeth, Lana and Game Boy go off trying to find a way to get Kevin and the end team out of the baseball cellar where they're at. And Mother Brain's currently, you can see it, she's on like her tank that you saw from like a previous episode, which I thought kind of was a little, a nice little subtle nod, you know?
Yeah.
Excuse me. But the very next moment, you see Bo, Simon, and Kid Icarus walking across the bridge they talked about before. Do you see what the bridge is made out of?
I thought it was just rectangles. Is it?
It's like baseball bases, and then the pillars that are the supports that are connecting the railing together, like the rope railings, are baseball bats with baseballs perched on top of it. That's actually kind of a fun design, man. Like
it is.
As for this lower budget, there's some moments where I'm like, that's pretty clever. I like that. But you see them walking across, you don't see them get all the way across before it cuts, and all of a sudden they're in a cave again. Like and Kid Icarus suddenly has demon eyes at 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Do you see that?
Oh my gosh.
He just has demon eyes. It's all black. I just noticed that for the first time now. That's terrifying. It fixes itself at 450, and you can see a little bit of the white of his eyes, but like for the most part, he just has demon eyes.
Yeah, it is creepy doll face.
And it matches the scene because they end up fighting these creepy ass baseball gloves with faces on them.
And they spit acid, and I was trying to figure out why.
I don't know, but I'm going to send you a picture, Dexter, of it's a little uncomfortable. For those who are curious, 4 minutes and 52 seconds. It's one of the baseball gloves spitting out some spit. And I don't know what to make of this, Dex. I just texted you the picture so you can see it. But what? Excuse me, what? It looks like it's just...
Yeah, I'm lost.
It looks like it's sucking out, like it's spitting out its acid spit, but the face it's making, it looks like it's sucking it up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's making like the cartoon, like a puckered lips, but I don't even know.
I'm so confused by it, but they spit out acid on the bridge that they're walking across, and they have to quick rush across before the acid, you know, melts the bridge. And those baseball gloves are terrifying for real. And then it cuts over to Kevin, Duke, and Mega Man going on the other path, and they're getting chased by basically baseball snitches, you know, like straight out of Harry Potter or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're supposed to be fly balls.
That's what it is. What a dumb joke. And now they're in like this like kind of shamble of a cave, and they all end up going back the way they came, it looks like. You know, they all end up meeting back where they started.
Which makes sense if it's a baseball diamond that they would kind of meet on the other side.
But they didn't meet on the other side. That's the thing. At least it doesn't look like it, because Bo and the squad came back on like in the bridge, and the chasm where they came from is still on the right side. It would have been on the left if they had actually been able to switch, like get to the other side. I think they ended up having to run away and go back to where they started.
I think you're right.
It's very subtle, but this is where Lana is able to speak with them. She finds a way to contact them, and it's a little confusing, but she like hits a lever, and for some reason it makes it seem like she could turn on some type of portal.
Yeah, she tells them she's like has access to Mother Brain's computer and is going to give them a portal out of the cellar.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, and that's what Mother Brain's like, no, you're not. And she's supposed to be like hitting a button to send there. And that's when we get Mother Duke Brain's eyes out looking different directions. frame is that? Yeah, 629.
629. You can see Mother Brain looking at the. Oh man, I have to see this now. there, it, I mean, I talk about a shitload. Oh my god, I see what you're saying. There's a ton of times in like Bluey where they do that, but it's always for comedic effect, never by accident. This very much feels like an accident. But anyway, Duke sniffs out the portal that Lana somehow magically conjured, even though you don't see it. And they end up in this weird underground cave baseball diamond fighting, what is it, the baseball king?
The baseball card king.
The baseball card king. And it's got like a dude who looks like Kurt Schilling or some shit like that. I don't know. I know Kurt Schilling's kind of an asshole. That's an understatement. But he kind of, I don't know, for some reason, the way I look at him, maybe it's because of the red hat, it reminds me of the Phillies, but he looks like Kurt Schilling to me.
Yeah, his eyes are hidden by the giant bill of his hat. His body is a baseball card with like arms and legs sticking out of it.
But like there's a baseball behind him still, and maybe like his hair, like it's almost like the baseball has a, I'm so confused by him.
I think the baseball's his throne.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense then. And there's like a mitt as like the backing to the throne. And then he calls out a bunch of baseballs or baseball bats with legs wearing hats.
And giant and then, underbites.
And giant underbites. You're right. It's
They look like they're all going, oh, yeah, oh, you know, like the classic like rich Hurston, person
Thurston accent. Howell the third or whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, lovey.
Yep, that's what they all sound like, I would imagine.
I'm going to bite you. You're making me positively batty. It's so dumb. But they defeat all the bats, and Kevin has an iconic line. Well, I hate to win and run, but there is a signal coming from the end of the baseball field. And then they just fucking jump off a cliff, like into a chasm, just eat themselves off into a chasm.
I need you to go to 8 minutes. 8 minutes and 2 seconds and watch. Tell me how Duke destroys this bat at just after 8 minutes.
Is it 8 minutes and 2 seconds or 8 minutes?
It's 8 minutes and, well, it happens at 8 minutes and 3 seconds. But yeah, just to give yourself enough time, I would go to just 8 minutes and watch from there.
Okay, so Duke pounces on the bat. I see that.
It adds a couple extra thrusts afterwards.
Oh my god, you're right. He just humped that bat to death.
Yep. The thing is, because everyone else that's attacking the bats disappear like a, you know, like a normal video game enemy. But that poor bat that Duke pounces on has to stay there as he has his way.
Last thing he saw before he got taken out by Mega Man's saw blade was dog dick. Oh my god. They go through the portal. They jump through the cliff, dog dick and all, into the portal. And Princess Lana, like, she, what is it? She comes, she has a bizarre idea of like convincing Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo to make a cake to honor Mother Brain for becoming like the ruler of Videoland. But that was all part of her plan, because after Mother Brain puts on the crown, Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo start dancing. I think they, what don't they sing a song? It's like, for she's a jolly good brain or something like that.
Yeah. They are. It's
for she's the evil bad queen. That's what they're singing. For she's the evil bad queen. For she's the evil bad queen. And nobody can deny, something like that.
Yep.
Mother Brain starts crying out of happiness, only to realize that Lana was like, that was all part of my master plan. The portal opens up right as the end team falls onto the cake, and the cake turns into a fucking fountain. Like, it just, it when they smash it, it suddenly grows in like six times the size, like, but out sideways, you know, like they smash it so it splurts out all around the rest of the room, but like all five layers end up taking the entire screen. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. No, this whole moment, like, I thought I understood what was going on, but I was like, what is happening right now with the cake and then jumping off the cliff? Like, it all, like, in the end, I understood what happened, but as it was happening, I was like, what's going on? But yeah, those layer cakes, like, grow sideways instead of, like, splatting.
They grow sideways is perfect. That is a perfect description.
Yeah, they didn't want to animate it like splatting, so they just like stretch it to the side.
It's so bizarre, dude. It's so bizarre. And but because it splats to the side, it ends up propelling Mother Brain, King Hippo, and Eggplant Wizard up into the portal into the baseball cellar, which presumably, since Captain N doesn't show up, like, they don't show up again in the rest of the series, you know, there's only one more episode. Does that mean are they just in the baseball cellar forever, getting chased by baseball bats and baseballs?
That seems to be Mother Brain's fate. And she's like, I hate baseball.
Of course, they have a camera watching it happen and they're just laughing at her, just running away in her tank. And it's just the end team. And though I don't see Kid Icarus in here, I see Duke, Mega Man, Simon, Princess Lana, Kevin, and Bo Jackson, but there's no Kid Icarus in this last scene.
Bo Jackson has officially replaced Kid Icarus
for this episode, and then we never see Kid Icarus again. Actually, hold on. It doesn't say it's the final episode with Kid Icarus, so we'll probably see Kid Icarus in the next episode, but yeah, that's the... That's it. That is this episode 6, Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls. I didn't have nearly as many issues with Know-It-Alls as I did with Tale of Two Dogs, but like going through Know-It-Alls, how can I describe this? Between these two episodes, I think A Tale of Two Dogs is more fun to describe and watch. And like Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls is boring to talk about, in my opinion, not because of you, Dex. You're my best friend. I love you. But I think it's a lot more interesting to watch because the visuals are just super interesting, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you that I felt like maybe it's because the hoop-dee-doo-dah day. maybe that took all of the sports pun energy that I could give, because this was just full of, you know, like, I thought I was going to have more to say about it, like you said. But yeah, Tale of Two Dogs is not as good of an episode, but I enjoyed talking about it way more.
Same. I don't know what it is, but like Tale of Two Dogs, just because I think there's more what the fuck moments in that. Just the drain issue, the dogs talking in this. All the gags are almost visual based between like the baseball gloves. Like every what the fuck moment in this is a visual thing versus a plot thing. And it's a lot harder to describe a visual thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know, this, like you said, it was all visual, but it was also like one thing after the next in Baseball Know-It-Alls. It was like, here's where they fight the baseballs, here's where they fight the mitts, here's where they fight the bats. And it wasn't, there wasn't really a lot of progression plot wise happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for it, in terms of plot, it's all, these are very, like, they're very one-off type of things. You know, it's like, the plan comes together within the first like 2 minutes. The end team has to get out of it over the course of the next like 5 or 6, and then the finale, you know, like it's like, yeah. There's two, it's like, it's almost like each episode is like two, the intro is 2 minutes, the conclusion is 2 minutes, and then the middle stuff is like 6, because, you know, they're about 10 minutes a piece, so they really only have so much time to really like plot this out. So it feels like it just, you can tell this is a lot harder to write for this show, because it is an ensemble cast. And don't get me wrong, like there are shows that do this type of format much better. Like I've mentioned a billion times, Bluey. Like Bluey is, they do a ton of ensemble episodes, but they're even shorter than this, and they're able to write it so much better. Mm-hmm. But in any case, yeah, my final thoughts are just these are both actually, I think, some of the better episodes of season three. Believe it or not, sad enough to say, because Totally Tetricized was kind of underwhelming for me, but I know it brought you back some horrific memories. And I think Pursuit of the Magic Hoop is the best one of season three so far by like a mile. I would say actually these two are like in second and third. I'm not sure which order, but these are second and third for sure.
Yeah, what was the return? I liked Return to Castlevania.
That was fun.
Simply for how much it reminds me of how I remembered the show as far as like video game references. Because I just remember I remember the wacky character designs, and I remember the video game references, and having rewatched all but one episode of the series at this point, there aren't nearly as many accurate video game representation like references as I thought there were. And yeah. It's a lot zanier than I remember. And I would say that the Return to Castlevania was the most like how I remembered it, if that makes sense.
I would say A Tale of Two Dogs has a bunch of good references to Mega Man in it too, between the different weapons and all the, like the cat and the yellow devil. Sorry, I couldn't think of it there for a second.
And that might be why that one ends up being better than I thought it would be as well. Same reason.
But that's episodes 5 and 6. We are coming up. We are into the home stretch now. One final episode to go for our Captain N series. I'm in shock, dude. This has been a 2.5 year journey that we've been on. We started this in the summer of 2021, and we are ending this now right before the winter, I guess, technically, right before the winter of 2023 into 2024. So we've been doing this for 2.5 years. We'll save all our retrospective thoughts on the series for our last episode, but get excited, y'all. We have one final episode for you in this Captain N series. And like I said at the top of the episode, send in your memories, your thoughts, your things you liked about the series, you know, moments that you enjoyed throughout the show, if being a little selfish, moments you enjoyed that Dexter and I were able to give you, whether it's dumb jokes that we don't remember that we said, because that happens all the time. Someone will like message me like, oh, this was so funny, you said this. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all. I barely remember half the shit I say. So send that in, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com, or you can send it to me over social, like a DM on social media. That's fine. I'm over on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. We'll read it on the episode or play it on the episode if you want to send an audio clip. We do have some other stuff planned there, since, you know, these episodes are only 10 minutes long. You know, normally we would cover two, but since there's only one left, we're going to cover the last one, and then we're going to do a whole bunch of end of the series festivities. So we got some cool stuff planned for you. Be ready for that next month. And Dex, let's wrap this up. So where can the good people find you online? Is there anything you'd like to promote, and any final thoughts in the episode, I should say, so first, so final thoughts, and then you, and then social media stuff.
Final thoughts are, I kind of just want to keep meeting once a month and then pretend like we saw a new episode of Captain N and just like improv. Can you believe what happened? You can find me on most of the social media websites. Just search for my name, DexterMorrill. You should find me on there. I'm sharing interesting video game history stuff, animation, cartoon, art stuff, sometimes my students' art stuff. And speaking of that, you'll keep an eye out next for the next episode when we should hopefully be announcing the last shirt or the next shirt design for Captain.
Yes. Yes, we will definitely be having that shirt ready for everyone when it'll be up on the store by that time. So be ready.
Yeah.
All right. As for myself, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, Twitch at Still Loading Pod on all of them. YouTube's at Still Loading Podcast. Like I said before, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to me, send me your Captain N. Enneries and memories. you're all going to miss our dumb Captain N puns, that's for sure. But if you want to support the show, please consider giving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because it helps more people find the show and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. I also have a Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And for $1 a month, you'll get all the episodes a couple days early at a higher bitrate, as well as access to patron voting rights to help choose future topics of the show. There'll be another poll actually up in January. So you can be on the lookout for that. For $4 a month, you'll get everything I mentioned prior, plus access to 2 bonus episodes every month. And those bonus episodes, I think I'm up to over 50 of them now. So there's a lot of bonus episodes out there. And for only $4, you get access to all of them, plus 2 new ones every single month if you stay on. And then, of course, still bonding at the $5 level. The $5 level, you get everything I mentioned before and access to Still Bonding, which is my monthly James Bond podcast where me and a bunch of friends bond over 007. At the time this episode is dropping, I want to say in 2 days, actually, in 2 days, the Living Daylights episode will drop because this will... Well, sorry. Actually, the time this episode is dropping... For the public feed, Living Daylights will have been out 2 days prior. The time this episode drops for my wonderful patrons, it will be out. Living Daylights will be out in 2 days. Anyway, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And those still bonding episodes, the Living Daylights one, for example, it's over 4 hours long. None of those episodes are under 2.5 hours. So, and that I want to say is like the 14th Bond movie. So you're looking at 2.5 hours times 14 minimum, 2.5 hours. Most of them are actually about 3 to 3.5. And there's 14 Bond movies. And so you can imagine how much that's a lot of content for y'all for your hard earned money. So please consider checking that out. Patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And of course, want to shout out my friends over at the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care in hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. That is all the time we have for you today. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
As always, I salute you, sir.
And we will, thank you. And we will think of you the next time we play video games. And joining me, my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It is a great time of the month. We're end-strating today.
Oh, God. I don't know if I should leave that in or not.
I can redo that. I'm sorry.
No, I might just leave it in.